Well, amen. It's good to be here tonight. Amen. And yeah, it's good to be in God's house. I appreciate all of y'all coming out tonight. A good Monday night crowd and a good looking crowd. Amen. Amen. And so I'm so thankful to be here tonight. You know, I go in churches all over the country, all kinds of different churches. I go in large churches, some that run several thousand. I go in small churches. I go in churches that like to sing Southern gospel music. I go in churches that sing contemporary Christian music. Sometimes I go in churches that have fat pastors. Sometimes I go in churches that have skinny pastors. I go in churches that have pastors with a lot of hair. I go in churches that have pastors that are good looking that have very little hair. Amen. My wife will say amen anyway. It kind of reminds me of a horse barn that had a sign outside of it. And the people that came up to it wanted to go horseback riding, and it said on the sign, if you're fat, we have fat horses. If you're skinny, we have skinny horses. If you're tall, we have tall horses. If you're short, we have short horses. If you've never ridden a horse, we have horses that have never been ridden. I want to ride a horse tonight that I think desperately needs to be ridden. And I hope that you will have ears to hear and hearts to hear tonight as we look in the Word of God. Turn with me, if you would, tonight to Exodus chapter 20. And I just want to read one verse. And I'm going to ask you, if you would, tonight to stand, if you're able to physically, in honor of the Word of God. Exodus chapter 20, and I'll draw your attention to one verse, and that is in verse 12. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. The Bible says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Honor thy father and thy mother. Again, as we go to the Lord in prayer tonight, I'm going to ask for you standing next to your family members, your husband and wife, children, hold hands as a family if you would tonight. And let's pray and ask God's blessing on his word tonight. Father, we come before you tonight, a needy people. Father, we need you. We need your presence in this place. Father, we need the Holy Spirit to do that work which we cannot do. Lord, we're dependent totally upon you. Yes. And Father, I'm dependent totally upon you tonight. Father, as I stand here tonight to preach the Word of God, I give myself afresh to you. And I pray, God, that the things that would come out of my mouth would be pleasing to you, and Father, be exactly what you want to be said the way they're said. Father, I pray you prepare hearts here tonight to receive the Word of God, and Father, again, not to just hear it, but to be changed by it and conformed into the image of your Son, Jesus Christ, that we would be more like him. Father, I pray you do that work, that miracle in a heart here tonight, which only you can do through your Holy Spirit. Yes. Father, if there be some here tonight, Lord, that do not know Christ, Lord, again, I pray, God, even as last night, Lord, that you would draw them to yourself, and Lord, that you would gloriously save them. Father, reconcile relationships that need to be reconciled. Do that work, I pray, in every heart, in every home here tonight, which only you can do. Lord, we want to pause and we want to thank you and give you all honor and glory ahead of time for what you're going to do here tonight in this service. We pray, we ask these things, agreeing together in Jesus' name. And all God's people said together, amen. You may be seated. Some years ago, there was a great preacher by the name of Dwight L. Moody. And I was reading through one of the books about him, and one of the statements as I was reading about his life that jumped off the page at me is when he was 60 years old, he made this statement. He said, I've lived 60 years, and I've learned one important thing in life, that no man who dishonors his father and mother will ever prosper in life. Great preacher of the Word of God, a great man of God, Dwight L. Moody, a great teacher of God, preached thousands of sermons. I'm sure he counseled hundreds and thousands, possibly, of families. And he said, I've learned one very, very important thing in my ministry, that no man, no woman, no young person who dishonors their father and mother will ever prosper in life. And I found the same to be true in my experience also. That is, you show me a man, you show me a woman, you show me a child who's dishonoring to their father and mother, and I'll show you someone who has poverty of peace, who has poverty of joy, and many times even poverty of possessions. But you show me a man, you show me a woman who obeys this command, and even though they may not in the world have success as the world views success, I'll show you someone that even though they may not be prosperous in the world's eyes, will have a joy and a peace in their heart that you'll never have without obeying this command to give honor to your father and to give honor to your mother. We're looking at Exodus chapter 20, and we're looking at verse 12. And Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12 is a transitional verse. You say, preacher, what do you mean by that? The first five commands have to deal with their vertical relationship, man's vertical relationship of man to God. And then we see this command to give honor to your father and mother, and he starts dealing with the horizontal relationships of man to man. And I don't believe it's any accident that God puts this command as the very first command, that is to give honor to your father and to your mother. God knows that we will give no greater honor to holy God than we learn to give honor to our own father and to our own mother. Years ago, I was doing a marriage conference at a little place near Chattanooga, Tennessee called the Cahutta Lodge. And as we were driving up there, it was several hours early. We were arriving several hours early. Debbie was there with me. We were driving up, and I noticed something on the right that I try not to notice. And that was, I noticed there was a little crafts village over on the right. I try not to notice those kind of places. But Debbie noticed it real quickly, and I knew since we were early that the question was going to come. And we checked in, and certainly the question did come. She said, Sam, we got a little extra time. Could we go down and look in the crafts village? I thought a little retail therapy won't hurt her. When we finished, I thought she must have been in extensive care, amen? But when we got there, we pulled up in front of this first little craft store. This woman came out the front door. I mean, she was the most outgoing and the most nosy woman I've ever met. And she began to ask us who we were, where we were from, and all these different kinds of questions. And then she pointed to her front porch and she said, preacher, she said, if you'll notice, I collect license plates. And I looked up there, and she had license plates from all these different states. And at the time, I was living in North Carolina. I had a North Carolina license plate. I was living over in Charlotte. And she looked at me, and she said, preacher, I don't have a North Carolina license plate. I thought to myself, you're not going to get a North Carolina license plate. I mean, I thought she was going to walk behind my car and maybe have a screwdriver and try to take it off my car. But about that time, she turned to me, and she said to Debbie, and she said to me, and looking straight at Debbie, she said, does he practice what he preaches? And I thought to myself, oh, my soul, let's just get out of here. I've had enough, you know. But I thought to myself at that point, in that time, people don't care so much about who you say you are as they do who you are. Amen. And there's a lot of people who claim the name of Jesus Christ who really look nothing like Jesus Christ. And I was reminded at that time, and as I thought back on that incident, that the hardest place, listen folks, the hardest place to live out your Christianity is in your home. The very hardest place to live out your Christianity is in your home. You know, you can come to church like a Monday night service like this, and you can put a big mask on and you can fake your Christianity. You might fake the pastor out. You might fake me out. You might fake somebody else out. But I want to tell you what, you can't fake your husband out. Listen, wives, your husband knows how much you love Jesus Christ. And listen, husbands, your wife knows how much you love Jesus Christ. And listen, mom and dads, you might think you can fake your children out, but you can't. Your children know how in love you are with Jesus Christ. The hardest place to live out your Christianity is in your home. And let me say here tonight, it starts right here with giving honor to your father and to your mother. You say, preacher, this word honor, what does it mean? The word honor means to esteem someone in a high place in your life, to count them as a priceless treasure unto yourself. It's as though if I had the money and I could go down to a Thomas Kinkade art gallery and I could spend $5,000 on a beautiful Thomas Kinkade painting and I brought it into my house, I wouldn't put it in the back room, I wouldn't put it in the bathroom, I'd put it in the living room where everyone could see that painting because it has great value to me. I esteem it as a priceless treasure unto myself. In the same way, God is saying that we are to esteem our parents as a priceless treasure to ourselves. We are to hold them in a high position in our lives. Now, let me stop right here, and I want to ask you, please don't tune me out. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Some of you adults here tonight are starting to think to yourself, this is a great message for the teens tonight. This is a great message for the children tonight. I'm glad you're preaching on honoring your parents because the children and the teenagers need to hear this message tonight. But listen to me, folks, tonight. I've learned in my time in the last 25 years in family ministry that some of the people that need to hear this message the most are not the children but grown adults. That is, grown adults who are still living in a lifestyle of bitterness and unforgiveness toward their parents, who are dishonoring their parents, and because of their dishonoring their parents, they are passing this on to their children. It's a sin that can affect their children and their children's children because they've never gotten this right with their own parents. So please don't tune me out here tonight. This is a message from God's Word. It's a message for every one of us here tonight. Amen. You say, preacher, how do we do that? How do we obey this command to give honor to our parents? As I began to meditate, I began to think on this and study Scripture on this, God began to reveal to me some ways, some very practical ways that I believe that we give honor to our parents. And I want to share some of them with you here tonight. The first way I believe that we honor our parents is by the life that we live. By the life that we live. Now listen tonight, you're either living a life that's honoring and pleasing to God, or you're living a life that's dishonoring and displeasing to God. If you're living a life that's honoring and pleasing to God, then you're living a life that's honoring and pleasing to your mother and father. But if you're living a life that's dishonoring and displeasing to God, then you're living a life that's dishonoring and displeasing to your father and to your mother. What kind of life are you living? If my four sons were sitting on this front pew here tonight, Josh, Daniel, Adam, and Philip, and they were to look up to me and they were to say, Dad, what is the greatest way we could give honor to you? Dad, what is the greatest way we could give honor to Mom? I would say, Josh, Daniel, Adam, Philip, the greatest way you can honor your mother, the greatest way you can honor me as your father is by living a life that's honoring and pleasing to God. And if you live a life that's honoring and pleasing to God, then you're living a life that's honoring and pleasing to your mother and father. Amen. Now, let me shock some of you. Maybe into reality here a little bit tonight. Because I believe we live in a day and time where we tend to categorize sin. You say, preacher, what do you mean? I mean, if I had a scale up here, and if one hand represented the number 0, and the other hand represented the number 10, and it represented 10 being the worst sins, we would tend to categorize certain sins as being worse than others. For example, if I were to mention the sin of homosexuality, you say, preacher, that's an abomination to God. That's a terrible sin. That ought to be put over here to 8 or 9. That's a very terrible sin. If I were to mention abortion, you say, preacher, millions of children, unborn children, have been killed through abortion. That ought to be here close to a 10, too. Now, let me stop here and say this. We ought to hate the sin, but we ought to love the sinner. Amen. We ought to try to win them to Jesus Christ. But if I were to put this sin of dishonoring your parents on this scale, you say, preacher, that's a terrible sin, but certainly it's not as bad as those sins you just mentioned a while ago. Well, let me say here tonight, in God's eyes, it's just as bad. Turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 and verse 28. Romans chapter 1 and verse 28, it says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. Notice the next three words. They're disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of what, church? Yeah. They're worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. What a testimony that is of even the day and time that we live in America today. But I want you to notice where it puts this sin of dishonoring your father and mother. It puts them right in the heart of all these other sins. You say, preacher, it says disobedient to parents. It doesn't say dishonoring. Well, listen, disobedience is a natural outworking of a heart that's dishonoring. It's one and the same. And listen to me, folks, tonight, God has not changed his mind. Man might want God to change his mind. Man might want man to listen to man's attitudes concerning this. But God says, I penned this several thousand years ago, and I have not changed my mind. Let me also add this. I think it's important to understand that in the last days, dishonoring your parents is indicative of perilous times in the last days before Jesus Christ. Look with me at 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, it says this, know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, here it is again, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such do what, church? Turn away from them. Again, the Bible says in the last days, before the return of Jesus Christ, I personally believe we are in those last days, that this is one of the sins that will be prevalent in the last days. I've never seen a time where that there's so many people that are so dishonoring to authority as the day that we live in today in America. And it starts, listen, that starts because they never learned to respect the authority of a mother and father in their home. They have never learned to give honor and obedience to their own mother and to their own father. Turn with me to one other place in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. Folks, I believe just like they have. On the side of a pack of cigarettes, it says, warning, smoking these cigarettes is hazardous to your health. I believe every public school ought to have a big sign on it somewhere. It says, warning, disobeying your parents, dishonoring your parents is hazardous to your health. I believe every home ought to have a sign in it somewhere. It says, warning, dishonoring and disobeying your parents is hazardous to your health. Is that not what the Word of God says? The Bible says there's a twofold blessing to those children who obey and honor their parents, but there's much in the Word of God about what God says is the judgment and cursing of God upon that child that does not. You might say, preacher, this all sounds good, but you don't understand. You don't understand the home that I grew up in. Preacher, you don't understand how my parents hurt me. Preacher, you don't understand what they did to me when I was a child. Listen, preacher, if you grew up in the home that I grew up in, if you had the parents that I had, you wouldn't be standing up there talking about giving honor to your parents, count them as a priceless treasure unto yourself. You don't know just how much my parents have hurt me. I want to stop here and I want to say this. Listen very closely tonight. The only way you'll ever be free from the hurt that they've caused you is to give honor to them. Continuing to nail them to the cross will hurt you more than it'll hurt them. It'll hurt you physically. It'll hurt you emotionally. And listen, folks, as I said to begin with, it'll hurt you spiritually. I believe it's a sin. If you don't get it right, it can affect your children, and it can affect your children's children. This thing of giving honor is kind of like a two-sided coin. On one side is the word honor. On the other side is the word respect. And the word respect means to look back on. That is, every one of us, as a parent, ought to be building and living the kind of life that our children can respect, can look back on, and easily give honor to you, easily esteem you in a high position in their life. But again, you may be here tonight and you say, preacher, if I give respect, preacher, if I look back on my past, it hurts. It hurts when I look back. It hurts at what happened in my home with my parents and what they did to me and how they treated me. Preacher, it hurts when I look back. Then you've got a choice to make. But I want to remind you of something here tonight. The highest form of love is to give honor to someone who doesn't deserve it. The highest form of love is to give honor to someone who doesn't deserve it. You see, God paved the way. Amen? Amen. God counts you, God counts me as such a priceless treasure unto himself. He honored you so much and me so much that he sent his son to be God in flesh, God incarnate, Jesus Christ, to live on this earth. A perfect life, to keep the law that you could not keep, I could not keep, to die a death on a cruel cross, to shed his blood in your place for your sins and my sins, that we might have life and have life eternal. Amen. Listen, the highest form of love is to give honor to someone who doesn't deserve it. And listen, folks, tonight, the Bible says, if you have the love of God in you, and you hate your father, you hate your brother, then you're a liar. Now, don't get mad at me. I'm just telling you what the Word of God says. Amen? If you say that you love God and you hate your brother, you hate your sister, you hate your mother, you hate your father, then you don't know my love, because my love is a forgiving love. Amen. My love is a love full of forgiveness, full of grace, full of mercy. You say, preacher, why don't we forgive? You know, it comes back to even what I preached on last night in Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 33. It says this: before honor is humility. Before honor is humility. And some of us are so full of ourselves and so full of pride that we won't humble ourselves before God and even before man, before our mother and father, and we won't forgive. We won't humble ourselves. God said, I'll resist the proud, but I'll give grace to the humble. Amen. I preached a revival meeting. It's been many years ago over in Moorhead City, North Carolina. I'll never forget, on a Tuesday night, and I was preaching on forgiveness. There was a lady on this end of the pew. I can see it in my mind's eye right now. And she began to cry. I knew that God was working in her heart in some way. At the invitation, she came to the altar after the service, and she began to pray, and she was crying, and she got up and she left before I ever got a chance to talk to her. The next night, I was standing in the foyer of the church, and she came up to me in the foyer of the church, and she said, preacher, can I speak to you a minute? I said, you certainly can. We went over to the side, and she began to share with me what had happened the night before. She said, preacher, I grew up in a home. I grew up in a home where my dad and my mom abused me. I grew up in a home where that my mom and dad took drugs. I grew up in a home where my mother ran off and left me with my father when I was about 3 years old. She said, preacher, I've hated my mother and my father all my life. In fact, preacher, my father lives across town, and I hadn't spoken to him in about 20 years. She said, but preacher, last night God broke my heart. She said, preacher, last night I knew I had to get it right with my father. I had to forgive him. I had to get it right. She said, preacher, I didn't know what I'd say. I didn't know what I would do. I just knew I had to do that. And preacher, when I went home last night, I called up my daddy. I called him on the phone. I hadn't talked to him in years. And I said, Daddy, I just want to ask you if you'd forgive me for how I've treated you all these years. She said, my daddy began to cry on the other end of the phone, and through his tears, he said, honey, oh, how could you ever forgive me for all those horrible things that I did to you? She said, preacher, today I met my dad for lunch, and we had lunch together. And she said, preacher, I told my daddy how I could forgive him. I told him because I had a relationship with Jesus Christ that I could forgive him because God had forgiven me. And she said, preacher, she said, we had lunch together. He put his arms around my neck, and I put my arms around his neck. I gave him a big hug. He gave me a big hug. And she said, preacher, it was like 1,000 pounds fell off my back. Amen. And I was reminded of this verse: before honor is humility. What kind of life, I ask you, are you living tonight? Are you living a life that's honoring and pleasing to God? Is there secret sin in your life? Is there unconfessed sin in your life? Listen. God sees all and God knows all. God sees every place you go. He knows everything you do. He knows everything you look at, sir, ma'am. He knows every detail of our life. Is there sin that the Holy Spirit is putting its finger on in your heart right now, nudging your heart and saying, see that sin right there on your heart? You need to confess that sin tonight. You need to be reminded of the verse that's even the memory verse here this week. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. Amen. Amen. But whosoever confesseth and forsaketh their sin shall have mercy. Amen. What a wonderful verse that is. Amen. And that verse is for every one of us here tonight. And maybe you're steeped in sin. Maybe there's some addiction in your life here tonight. Maybe it's pornography as a man. Maybe it's some other sin as a man or woman, a young person, a teenager, or a child. And God, through His Holy Spirit, is convicting you of that sin tonight. And God is saying, if you want to have revival in your heart, you want to have revival in your family, you want to have revival in your marriage, you want to have revival in your church, you need to confess your sin. You need to forsake that sin, and I'll show you mercy. Amen. What kind of life are you living? Is it a life of bitterness and unforgiveness toward a mother and father? Maybe a mother and father even living now, but you're still holding that bitterness in your heart. May they live across town. May they live in another state. May they live right here in this area. You say, preacher, if I'd be honest, there's still bitterness and unforgiveness in my heart toward my mom and dad because of some things they've done in my past, and God is speaking to your heart tonight. He's reminding you of the highest form of love is to give honor to someone who does not deserve it. I believe the first way we give honor to our parents is by the life that we live. But let me say secondly, I believe we honor our parents also by the loads that we lift. By the loads that we lift. And let me talk to you young people here just for a moment here tonight. Some of you, if I were to go into your room, it looked like a city dump lookalike contest. And some of you would win, amen? I mean, some of you wouldn't pick up your clothes until they invented a vacuum cleaner that would suck them up. And you wouldn't do it then unless you could ride it. You know what I'm talking about. Listen, mom and dad work hard all week long. Your mom and dad are doing the best they can to provide all they can for you, the best lifestyle they possibly can provide for you. They love you. And they're doing all they can for you. One of the ways you can give honor to them is to lighten their load. Amen. What I'm saying is pick up your clothes, vacuum the carpet, make up the bed, do the dishes, wash the car, cut the grass. Amen? Amen. Mom and Dad, y'all want to add something to that list? And they shouldn't have to beg you to do it. You ought to do it because you love them. Amen. You ought to do it because you want to give honor to them. You ought to do it because they're so special to you. And by doing those things without them begging you to do it, you're giving honor to them and you're showing them that you count them as something special and a priceless treasure to yourself. Oh, you ought to be load lifters for your mom and dad when you're young, but we ought to be load. Listen, folks, we ought to be load lifters for our mom and dad when they get old, too. Amen. When they get old, too. You know, Satan's very deceptive. And he'll get us out here and we'll be fighting this issue or that issue, whether it's homosexuality or abortion or this issue or some other issue, and he'll sneak around through the back door something new. And I believe he's sneaking around through the back door something new. It really isn't new, but it might be new to you. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm talking about something called euthanasia. You say, preacher, what do you mean by that? I mean a precious, elderly parent who no longer, society no longer feels they have any value, so they feel like they're expendable. You say, preacher, I'd like to give honor to my elderly parents, but you don't understand. Preacher, when I go over their house, my mom now is in her 80s, my mom wears a diaper. And preacher, I have to help change that diaper. And preacher, that just kind of grosses me out. And preacher, I just can't quite take that. You say, preacher, you don't understand. My dad, he's in his 80s. And my dad, when he talks sometimes now, he kind of slobbers down the side of his mouth. And preacher, I have to take a rag and wipe that off of him. Preacher, that just kind of grosses me out. Preacher, I just can't quite take that anymore. Say, preacher, you don't understand. Preacher, you don't understand. When I go to see my mom and dad, they're elderly now, and they say the same things over and over again sometimes. It's hard to take, preacher. I just can't quite take that, preacher. You don't understand. Folks, I think I do understand. When you're a little baby, they wiped your messy bottom. Amen. Amen. Listen, when you were just a little boy or girl and you slobbered all over yourself, they wiped it off of you. Listen, I know how it is. I've got four sons. How it is to have somebody say the same things over and over again. But I still love them. Listen, folks, one of the greatest ways you can honor your parents is to lighten their load. Whether you're young or whether you're old and your parents are elderly, you honor your parents by the life you live. And you honor your parents by the loads you lift. Let me say importantly and very importantly, you honor your parents by the love that you lavish toward them. You honor your parents by the love that you lavish toward them. I remember, gosh, it's been some 37 years ago. I came home one day and Debbie had been to the doctor. She had a big smile on her face and she said, guess what? Well, I knew what. We were going to have our first child. I was so excited that I had to take classes and learn how to breathe all over again. Amen. Some of y'all went through those classes, right? I remember when our first son was born. I was right there in the hospital. And I remember when the doctor delivered that little baby boy and he held up that little baby boy and my heart just jumped out of my chest. I was so thrilled. I was so excited that God had given us a son. I remember we took that little baby boy home. We put him in the nursery. We had a nursery, had a crib and a rocking chair in that nursery. And I would sit in that nursery in that rocking chair, go in there at night and pick up that little baby boy. And we called him Josh, and I put Josh on my shoulder, and we'd rock him. I'd rock him forwards and backwards and forwards and backwards, and I'd lavish love all over that little boy. I remember I told God, I said, God, I'd be willing to die for this little boy. I love him so much. You moms and dads, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But you know what? I thought to myself, how much in the same way should we lavish that same kind of love back toward a precious mom and dad? 1983. I was living in Kingsport, Tennessee, and I got some news I never thought I'd ever get, some news you never want to get. I got a phone call, and on the other end of the phone, they let me know that my dad had just passed away. I went back on the back deck of my house, and I sat on the back deck, and I began to cry. I began to think back to all the times I'd had with my dad. I thought back to when we had a little farm outside of Lynchburg, Virginia. And he would get my brother, who's 3 years older than I, early in the morning. He would get us to go out and he would say, I want you to dig these post holes around this field. And we'd go out about 6 o'clock in the morning and we'd start digging those post holes. He'd tell us where he wanted them dug and we'd start digging those post holes. And we didn't have those post hole diggers you have on the back of a tractor. We had those kind of have two handles. You know what I'm talking about? And we had a metal bar if the ground was hard so you could get through the clay and dig those holes. We'd go down the field, we'd be digging holes for several hours. And I see my dad coming down toward us through the field. As he got closer, I noticed he had a folding chair under his arm. When he got about 10 yards from where we were digging holes, he stopped, he'd unfold that chair, and he'd set it down backwards, and he'd sit down in that chair, and he would tell us how to dig those holes. I used to hate that. You know, I'd give anything I own if I could see my dad come through that back door here tonight with a folding chair under his arm and come down this aisle one side here and unfold that chair and sit there right there and say, son, I'm proud of you. Preach, son, I'm proud of you. If I could just see that one more time. We used to go to a little place called Jack's Place in Rustburg, Virginia. And we get R.C. Kohler. We get a moon pie, hot dog. And we go down to the barn. And we'd do something. My dad would call it stump setting. Now, I was just a little tiny fella. I just had a little tiny stump I'd sent on. My dad weighed over 300 pounds. He had a great big old stump he sat on. He'd sit on that stump. I'd sit on that little stump, and he'd talk to me. I began to reflect back to those moments, think about some of those special times I had with my dad. You say, preacher, sounds like you had a very special dad. You know, I believe I did. I didn't have a perfect dad. Until I was 13 years old, my dad was a drunkard. My dad would come in drunk about every day. My mother worked at the Chapstick Company in Lynchburg, Virginia. Eight of us children. I'm the youngest of eight. I can remember times when my dad would get in a fight with my older brother. He's 14 years older than I am. I was just a little boy. He was a teenager, and I can remember a fight where he got with my dad, and my dad threw him out of a second-story window and almost killed him. I have some bad memories. But I remember in 1968, when I was 13 years old, my dad went out drinking that night. He was not even home. I went up to see my brother, who was a senior at Virginia Tech. Went to a football game, saw my brother that day, not knowing that that would be the last day that anyone in our family would ever see him. That night, we got a telephone call. I heard my mom scream in the middle of the night. She got the news my brother had just been killed in a car accident on his 23rd birthday. My dad was out drinking that night. Dr. Jerry Falwell went out and found my dad that night, led him to the Lord. My dad got saved. Amen. And you know what happened to my dad's life? He changed. You know, when you get saved, you ought to change. Amen? Amen. You have new life in Jesus Christ. Right. He didn't become immediately a mature Christian, but I could see change in his life. Amen. And I'm so thankful that from 13 years old till I graduated from high school, I had some of the best years with my dad anybody in our family had. And I choose to remember those years. I choose to remember those years. My dad died, left my mom by herself. She moved to a little apartment up in Richmond, Virginia. She was near some of my sisters, and I remember one time I was going to do a revival meeting up in that area, and I thought I'll stop by and see Mom and bless her. And actually, I wanted her to bless me. I knew she'd bless me because she'd fix me fried chicken. You know those mashed potatoes, the real kind, not the instant kind. And my favorite dessert, pecan pie with a big scoop of vanilla ice cream on it. I mean, that's pretty good, amen? And she did. And I was sitting there eating supper with her, and I said, Mama, I said, why don't you just come on over to this revival meeting with me. You can stay in the hotel with me. And I thought, what a great time for me just to lavish some love on her, show how much I loved her. She said, oh, I'd love to go. I said, well, Mama, you can go on one condition. She said, what's that? I said, if you'll promise me something. She said, what do you want me to promise you? I said, if you go with me and you're sitting in that church and the preacher recognizes you, I want you to promise me that you won't call me Sammy and I'll let you go. She said, oh, I promise, I won't do that. We had a wonderful service. I remember on the second night, it was a Monday night, and had a wonderful service. At the end of the service, the preacher said, so good to have Miss Wood here. Miss Wood, you'd like to say something? She stood up and she turned to everybody. She said, I just want to let you know I'm so proud of Sammy. And I just shook my head. I probably should never have told you all this story. A few years later, she turned 80 years old. And all of her family was going to go up on her 80th birthday and give honor to her and have a special celebration for her. But as the time drew closer, the date changed a little bit, and I had a meeting. I couldn't go, so the next week, I was living in Charlotte at the time, and my wife and all four of our boys, we got on Interstate 95, went up to Richmond, Virginia. A special time with her since we missed her 80th birthday. We spent several days with her, and we went out to some special places to eat, did some special things with her, but the time came, as it always does, when you have to leave. And I'll never forget, we were standing in that little foyer that day. My boys ran up and hugged their grandmother goodbye, hugged her and kissed her and told her goodbye, went and sat in the car. Debbie hugged my mother goodbye, told her how much she loved her, and went out and sat in the car, left me all alone there with my mom in that little foyer. My mom began to do something I knew she was going to do. You say, preacher, what's that? I knew she was going to cry. She began to cry. And when she cried that day, it's like the Holy Spirit of God just got all over me and said, I want to tell you, that's a special little lady right there. That's a special little lady when you were little and all your brothers and sisters, when your dad was out drinking, when he wasn't there on Sundays. She'd get up early in the morning and she'd dress all of you, and we'd walk across town and make sure that we was in church on Sundays. And she'd walk us back home. She'd get up every morning and she'd fix lunch before we went to church so it'd be on the table, because my dad demanded that, even though he didn't go to church. He demanded that the lunch be on the table at certain times. She got up and fixed it ahead of time so it could be on the table when it was supposed to be, according to him. I began to reflect back to all the things she had sacrificially done in our family to hold our family together during all those years. And the Holy Spirit said, I want to tell you, that's a special little woman right there. I say, God, you're so right. She's a very special little lady. I put my arms around her and I hugged her and I kissed her. And she put her arms around me and hugged me and kissed me. And she cried on my shoulder and I cried on her shoulder. And she whispered something in my ear in that little foyer that day I've never, ever forgotten. She said, Sammy, I know how much you love me. I thought, wow, that was so special to me. She said, I know how much you love me. And I ask you tonight, does your mom and dad, do they know how much you love them? Have you lavished so much love on them that they know how much you love them? You know, it didn't take a lot of time. And this is so much more meaningful to me now that I'm 63 years old and my kids live all over the country and I don't get to see them much. It's so meaningful when I get a phone call from my son. I say, Dad, I was thinking about you today and just wanted to run this by you. What do you think? Or, Dad, I was thinking back to a trip we had some years ago and how much fun that was. It doesn't take a lot of time to make a phone call and let your mom and dad just know how special they are. It didn't take a lot of time to write a little card and send it to your mom and dad about some special memory that you've had with them. And listen, when they get that and read that, they're not going to throw it in the trash. They're going to put it on the refrigerator and put a magnet on it, amen? And they'll read it over and over and over again. There's an old saying, dead noses smell no roses. The time to give your parents honor is right now while you have them. Let them know how much you love them. My mom and dad are both in heaven right now. Perhaps yours are, or one of them is in heaven. I don't know your situation. But if you have them here still on this earth, let them know. Lavish so much love on them that they could tell you, I know how much you love me. Or if I had time, I could go back to some other verses in the Old Testament and share with you how a son and daughter who is rebellious to their parents, and they continue to be rebellious to their parents. It was such a serious issue with God. They would take that child out to the gates of the city and they would stone that child to death. That's how serious this is. I believe if America was living the way they're living today back in that day, I believe there's a lot of Americans who would never live to see another sunrise, because of dishonoring their father and mother. We honor our parents by the life we live. We honor our parents by the loads that we lift. And we honor our parents by the love that we lavish. I want you to bow your heads tonight. Heads about, eyes are closed. Before I pray tonight, I want to ask you. You're here tonight and you say, preacher, Holy Spirit speaking to me tonight. Preacher, if you're going to pray for somebody who needs to get something right with a mother or father, has held bitterness and unforgiveness toward them, preacher, that's me tonight. God spoke to my heart tonight. I want you to pray for me tonight. Heads about, eyes are closed. I not point you out. I not come to you. I not embarrass you. I want to be able to pray for you tonight. You'd be honest before God. You say, preacher, that's me tonight. I need to get some things right with my mom and dad. I've been dishonoring to them. Would you slip your hand up? Let me pray for you tonight. All over the building. Just hold them up for a minute. Give me a chance to see. I see many, many hands here tonight. Many, many hands. And I thank you for being honest tonight. And I want to say here tonight, you're not here by accident tonight. God didn't place this message on my heart by accident tonight. There's many, many things I could preach tonight. But by your response here tonight, many of you in this auditorium, God sent this message for you. And God wants you to get things right with your mom and dad. They may be in this building. They may not be. They may be in another state, maybe across a city. You may need to make a phone call like this young lady I said in the message did. You may need to take a trip and see them face to face. You may need to get it right, but God is saying you to hear tonight that you need to get that right with your mom and dad. And you'll be like that young lady who said, "Preacher, when I got that right with my father, it was like 1,000 pounds fell off my back." Maybe you're here tonight and you say, "Preacher, it's not that I'm dishonoring my mom and dad. In some way, I'm holding bitterness, unforgiveness, but preacher, I'm not living a life that's honoring to God and pleasing to God. There's sin in my life. There's secret sin in my life. There's an addiction in my life. No one else knows about it, but I know God knows about it, and God has put His finger on that sin tonight. And God is speaking to your heart tonight. You know, when God shows you sin in your life, it's because He loves you. He wants you to confess and forsake that sin. And God will grant you mercy. And maybe tonight there's sin in your life. You say, "Preacher, I need to confess that sin. I need to turn from that sin, forsake that sin. And I want you to pray for me tonight because God has shown me that there's sin in my life that I need to repent of and get right with tonight." Heads about, eyes are closed. I want to ask you to raise your hand tonight. Would you do that? I need to confess some sin tonight and forsake some sin. I see that hand, that hand, that hand. I see that hand, sir, ma'am. You say, "Preacher, I want to see revival in my home. I want to see revival in my churches." This is where it starts, right here. We got to confess and forsake our sins. Confess and forsake our sins, sir, ma'am, teenager, young person. I see that hand, sir. Anyone else here tonight? Pray for me. I see that hand in the back. Yes. Anyone else tonight? I see that hand, young lady. See that hand, ma'am. See that hand, sir. Anyone else tonight? Pray for me. Maybe you're here tonight and you say, "Preacher, I don't know that I have a relationship with Jesus Christ." I want to share with you here tonight the greatest way you can give honor to your mother and father is through submitting your life to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You might have a mom or dad that you know, you've seen them pray for your salvation, but you say, "Preacher, I've never accepted Christ." And maybe tonight God is speaking to your heart and you say, "Preacher, I'm not really sure that I'm saved." You say, "Preacher, before you pray, pray for me. I really have never nailed that down. Pray for me tonight. I'm not really sure that I know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior." Would you slip your hand up? Let me pray for you tonight. Anyone here like that tonight? Anyone here? I see that hand in the back, sir. Thank you. Anyone else here tonight? "I'm really not sure. I've really never nailed it down. I'm really not sure." Anyone else tonight? Father, I pray in Jesus' name. God, you know every heart in this building. You know every need in this building. And God, you know that you place this message on my heart tonight to preach for a reason. God, there's many here tonight that need, by their uplifted hand, have indicated they need to get something right with a mom or dad. Father, I pray for them tonight and pray, God, this wouldn't be a passing moment, but this would be a time of revival in their heart of getting right with you and getting right with their parents. Father, there's many here tonight who raise their hands and say, "Yes, there's sin in my life. And you show me that sin, and I need to confess and forsake that sin. I need to turn from that sin." I pray, God, tonight that this would be the night that they would repent of that sin and turn from that sin and turn to you. And God, they would experience revival in their heart tonight because they have confessed their sin. Father, far as I can tell, at least one man raised his hand tonight and said, "Yes, I've never nailed that down. I'm not really, really sure that I have a relationship with Jesus Christ." Lord, I pray, God, tonight that you would draw him to yourself, Father. I pray that you would grant him the faith to believe and trust in Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior tonight, that tonight he could nail that down. He would know for sure that Jesus Christ is his Savior. Father, I pray that you do an awesome work in this time tonight in hearts, even as you're working right now. And we pray and we ask these things, agreeing together in Jesus' name.